بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد، وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. For the hastening and the return of the Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصاب الحسين. I'd like to express the condolences for today, the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn. There's a hadith that describes Imam al-Husayn in this way. You've all heard it. إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى وَسَفِينَةُ النَّجَاةِ. Hussein is the lantern of guidance and the ark of savior. His existence lights our way, and he is like an ark that saves people from drowning. You know, like Prophet Nuh's time, that there was a storm and people were drowning in an environment where it's a deep sea that everyone would drown. You need an ark of savior. Imam al-Husayn is that ark of savior. The Imam's existence while he was alive and afterwards was guidance for all. How he pulled the individuals towards the right path while he was alive and afterwards. When you have the ark and people in the water drowning, the ark comes close to you to save you. These programs that we have, brothers and sisters, that we commemorate Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, coming here and being able to commemorate the Imam, the tears that come down, if we have them, that we pray that Allah gives us those tears. If we don't, if we have these tears, that's like the ark coming close to you, wanting to save you. The Imam has come to you. So many people have been saved by this spirit of the Imam that comes to the individuals, but the individuals don't always make the right choices. One example during the lifetime of the Imam was the example, I mean there's numerous examples, I'll mention a couple of them. One example before getting into Karbala was Zuhair ibn Qin. When the Imam called for him, he didn't want to go. His wife, his pious wife, told him, "Are you not ashamed that your Imam is telling you to come and you say, I'm eating right now, I don't want to go?" But when he goes to the Imam, that existence, just a couple of words, Zuhair comes out, he's changed. Wife, I'm getting ready for Shahada. An individual that was Uthmani, he didn't even believe in Amir al-Mu'mineen, preferred Uthman over Amir al-Mu'mineen. A few minutes in the presence of Imam al-Husayn changes the individual inside out. So many people after the Imam has become Shaheed, just this message. Some people say in the gatherings of Imam al-Husayn, in the people who are sincere, they want to have a good gathering. People cry and tears and all of that. Say, don't allow these guys that are, you know, they're not very religious, they come once a year, don't allow them in. But the scholars say, no, allow them in. This is where the Imam is having an effect on these individuals. I know people that personally, Muharram K, they were into a lot of sin and wrong activity. Muharram came, a couple of sessions, the heart is purified. When the tears start to come down, when you hear the masaib of Imam al-Husayn, when you hear the masaib of Abbas, the flag bearer of Karbala, and those tears start to come down the cheeks, that is when the Imam has come to you to save you. But brothers and sisters, that is not necessarily getting onto that ship in the ark. We need to get onto the ark. Not everybody made the choice like Hur did to jump onto the ark. The Imam comes to us all. We come here, every time we come here in Muharram and gather, it's like the Imam has come to us to try to guide us. But do we accept the guidance? Do we come onto the ark of guidance of Imam al-Husayn to change like Zuhair, to say that I'm ready for Shahada? We don't always do that. You know what jumping on board is? What that effect is? It is the decision to stay away from sins. What are we doing, brothers and sisters, throughout the year? Yes, it's good to get together, have programs for Muharram for the Imam. But the point of that is that he's the ark of guidance. It's to guide us. He doesn't need you and I to cry for him. He's needless of that. None of the shuhada in Karbala needed anyone. If they wanted to think of that, they wouldn't have been there. You have 30,000 people, a few individuals. They're going with flesh to all these swords and spears and all of that. They don't care what people think, whether they accept them, they cry about them, or they don't. This whole movement of the Imam, commemorating the Imam on Ashura, is that he has come to us once again on this day. Are we going to jump on board? That's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to decide to stop upsetting the Imam of our times? There's hadith that says there's a few of the ahadith. Some of them they say twice a week the Imam receives, the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Receives a report of what we have done in that week. And every time that he is informed that a Shia has committed a sin, it causes the Imam to have a broken heart and cry. The people in Karbala caused Imam al-Husayn to cry. We, you and I, we're doing the same to the 12th Imam. If we don't jump on board of the ark of Imam al-Husayn, by accepting to do what they've told us. I mean, why did the Imam go to the plains of Karbala, sacrifice his life, his family's life, allow his women and children to be taken as captives? Why did he do that? Just wanted 1400 years ago, 1400 years later, for people to gather together and cry for that? He wanted to save and preserve the message of Islam, the do's and the don'ts. This is haram, that is what, do we even know what he saved, or we just know what happened to him in the process of saving this message? It's important, brothers and sisters, first to get to know what he has saved, the message that he has saved, and after that, to jump on board and accept the guidance of Imam al-Husayn. But today, brothers and sisters, that ark of Savior, the Misbah al-Huda, in a few hours from now, is going to be departing this world. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Mazloom. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, O Imam, who was slaughtered on the shores of the Euphrates with the thirsty mouth. Today, from this morning, Imam al-Husayn and the family have begun the battle. First, the Imam lectures to the people. Why do you want to have my blood on your hands? Why do you want to kill the son of the daughter of your prophet? Have I committed a sin? Do I have a crime that I deserve to be killed? When the Imam is speaking, some start making noise for the others not to hear. The battle begins. They start throwing arrows at the Imam and the companions. That's the first part of the battle. A few of the companions become shaheed there. The battle moves to the next stage. The arrows stop. Abdullah goes up front, he kills the first of the enemy and the second one. Then the enemy starts to attack the tents and the family and the companions of the Imam. The companions start to defend the Imam. Gradually, one by one, they become shaheed. Then the companions decide that one by one they should go and fight. Zuhair ibn Qin goes and displays his chivalry to defend the household of the Prophet. He becomes shaheed. Habib ibn Madahir, the old man, who was the companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen as well, he goes to the battlefield and shows his loyalty. Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi makes his body a living shield to protect the life of the Imam while he's praying. The arrows come, he takes them with his body. When he drops Arabs, they say he had 13 or more arrows in his body. He turned back to the Imam and said, Afaradit, are you satisfied with me, O Imam? Can we say the same to our 12th Imam? The companions went and fought. They all became shaheed. Afterwards, the time for the family of the Imam came, Bani Hashim. Ali and Al-Akbar went, Qasim went, Abbas and his brothers. Then a time came, the Imam looks to the right and then to the left. Zuhair is gone, Abbas is gone, there's no one left. According to one narration, the Imam calls out, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He begins to fight the enemy all alone. Picture the scene, brothers and sisters. One man and 20,000 enemies, and no one to protect him. The enemy comes and circles him. The Imam, the son of Haydar, starts to fight them, starts getting and killing the enemy. All of a sudden, the Imam has fought from morning up to this point. The thirst takes over the Imam. Imagine fighting with a thirsty mouth. You get tired very quickly. So after fighting some of them off and trying to make his way to the Sharia to get the water, they ambush the Imam. From the back, one individual strikes the Imam on the left shoulder. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Another individual strikes the other shoulder of the Imam, or the neck of the Imam. A third individual, Ya Allah, takes his spear at the body of the Imam. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. At this point, Abdullah ibn al-Hassan, a young boy around 10 years old, is seeing this from the campsite. He starts to run to try to help his uncle. He arrives, he starts talking to the enemy, I won't allow you to hurt my uncle. The enemy, he wants to strike Imam al-Hussein. Abdullah extends his arms. The arms of Abdullah get cut off. Imagine a 10-year-old boy. Imagine, see, and think how the Imam feels at that point. His brother's son, his nephew, This child is in need of help. The imam can't do anything. It hurts the imam internally. But that wasn't it. At this point, the family of the imam, the sisters of the imam, have come to know that the imam is in trouble. Zainab has found her way towards Tallu Zainabiyya. She arrives there to see والشامر جالسون على صدره. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرام بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بدم المظلوم بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك أو الله we ask you to hasten the return of our imam أو الله we ask you to enable us to be of his close companions O Allah, we ask you to grant thee all the needs that we have. O Allah, we ask you to grant all the mu'mineen and mu'minat the hajat, the needs that they have. O Allah, we ask you to free all of those under oppression, especially the mu'mineen, mu'minat in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Yemen. النبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات